You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we were talking about Everton's managerial woes. We try to figure out who's going to take their talents to where this transfer window. And Neymar has a new propaganda piece, and we break it down.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Jordan Morris live from the camp. Oh, my God. Absolutely incredible. We literally talked to him about everything. And trust me, when you think about us, and you think about Jordan Morris, and you think about what that conversation should be talking about, we talk about it. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Let's go. Yes.
Come on.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, Alexis.
You know what?
How
Hello,
are you
Christian.
Doing? Okay.
I'm great. And thank you for asking. Yo, what was
I'm
the last
here.
Time we asked each other how we were?
Right. Yeah. You know what? I just want to let everybody know today's the day I'm just going to force a smile. You know, I'm going to pretend to be happy. You gotta smile through the pain. All right.
That's it. That's what life is all about. You know, and hey, you know what? Let's not even talk about sports today. Let's just talk about our feelings.
You know? Okay. Therapy session with the Cooligans. I know you're excited. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived right here on Fubo Sports Network.
Uh-huh. It's also the most emotionally developed and and gulliest all at the same time. Rare
all
combination.
Right. You know what? The sad clowns have found a breakthrough. Okay. We're trying to be as optimistic as possible. Because when it comes to soccer, football, we try to find any joy we can. And sometimes a lot of these clubs, they make it challenging for us, but we still
Bro.
Fight through it, okay?
Bro, it ain't easy. You know, I just realized in sports, every sport, only one, I mean, in soccer, multiple, but in most sports, only one team wins. So it's just a sea of upset and sad people. And then there's just one group of people that are really enjoying themselves. What have we signed up for?
It's a bad decision, but you know, you can't turn back. When you join a gang, you're in the gang for life. You can't get out, okay? So we're excited about today's show because we're going to be joined by Jordan Morris of the Seattle Sounders, U.S.
Huge.
Men's National Team is going to be calling in from U.S. Men's National Team camp. And, you know, we go over a couple things throughout his career, right, that mm-hmm. That has happened. The success.
The first thing you thought about when you thought of us and Jordan Morris, we talked about it.
So we're excited to chat with him in a little bit. But we have to start today talking about a couple things going on in the Premier League, because there's one club, you might see the shirt right behind me, Everton Football Club, that going through a little bit some issues, right? They got rid of their manager, Rafa Benitez, and now it is the hunt, the search for who is going to be the next, who's the next successor. For the previous manager. And look, as of right now, it's still, we know the caretaker manager is going to be Duncan Ferguson.
Well, see, this is the thing, right? Like, Everton went back to an ex, right? They had a really bad breakup with Ancelotti, right? Left them.
Yeah.
Then they left Rafa Benitez. Uh-huh. They dumped him, and then they got back. Now it's a rebound, so they just want a really big dunk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, they don't call them big dunk for nothing. Right?
You know what I mean? I just need a big old dunk. You know what I mean? To help me forget about my ex.
I can't let him go. I know. Just
you know,
keep pulling me back in. All right?
I know he's toxic and I know he's not perfect for me, but I just need a big old dunk right now just to help me get over my ex.
So we know he's going to be the caretaker manager for now, which I think is you know, even I think most Everton fans are happy with this move. But then
he has, you know how like they say you should go from like player coach to like, you know, authoritarian, like back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exact, but Rafa Benitez seemed like someone who was just data guy. Don't bother me with the rest of it.
Yeah.
This is the, we don't need data. We need heart. You know, if I don't see you sweat, you're not a good player, you know?
Sabermetrics? Get all this math out of my face, okay?
No, what animal is that? You know, I've never seen it at the zoo, you know?
So it is interesting, and it begs the question about like what is the going to be, and this, I feel like this question gets asked every like 2 years with Everton because they've had so many managers. But what is going to be the identity, right? Who should be the manager?
When it comes to like Arsenal, there's a style. There's the Arsenal way, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't bring in someone like a Mourinho who's, you know, being rumored to be attached to the Everton job. Because he plays a very defensive style. That's not the way. We have to go out and find someone who wants to play progressive, passing, attacking football. You got no identity. You can get with whoever you want, you know? And I actually think that kind of frees you up to get someone who plays ugly, but just wins. You know what I mean?
This should just be
3 points. That's all you need.
This should be Everton's eat, pray, love.
Yes.
Moment. You know, just find yourself, girl.
Yeah.
Just see, go to India. Do whatever you gotta do.
Girl, you need alone time. You know what I mean? Stop messing with this guy just because of the big dunk. You know what I mean? But honestly, this kind of opens you up to anybody in the world. If you could have your way, what style would you play? Like, what manager would you want? There's no rules. You could have whoever you want this summer, right? Because obviously you're gonna stick with Duncan Ferguson until the summer. You can have whoever you want.
What is
Christian Everton's premier Guardiola? All right, be honest. Who can you honestly get?
You know what? He's right there. He's not far.
It's an hour-long train ride. We've taken it multiple times. But if you could have anyone, like, what kind of style does Christian Polanco see for Everton, you being the brand ambassador here in the U.S.?
So as part of my official role, I have to opine in this with this question. No, style of football, I would say somebody who is more interested in possession. Playing out of the back at least sometimes, right? If you ever watch an Everton game, Jordan Pickford, whenever he gets the ball, he's like, I need to get this. He's taking shots on goal, Jordan Pickford. The guy has a cannon.
My like, guy's playing hot potato.
Get this out of my face. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to do with it. All I know is if it comes close to me, I have to parry it away. That's all Jordan Pickford. So somebody that...
Do a play out of the back style?
Yeah, just a center back that can hold on to the ball a little bit. You know, Michael Keane, back to Mina, back to the fullbacks here and there. Just control the game a little bit. That is why I would like to see, you know, we've seen several matches with very poor possession numbers. That has to be addressed. That has to be fixed. Because I can't believe that 11 Premier League players can't have more than 18% possession against literally any team. I don't care if it's the damn Galacticos, bro. It's insane that it can't be better than 18%.
You have to not want the ball to have 18%. You know what I mean? You have to try your hardest to have 18%. I feel like without even trying, you'll end up with 25. But so you want a progressive style. So look, you can't get Pep, right? Pep seems to have a job he's enjoying.
Let's say the city style of play, which is, yes, it is more possession based. I'm not expecting that from Everton, but just more connecting play. I mean, I don't even, you know, some of the names that have been, you know, that suggested, like Mourinho. Mourinho doesn't seem to make much sense. Lampard. No. Lampard doesn't make the...
A little bit more aggressive, a little bit more attacking, a little bit more possession style.
Tactically, maybe that it might be a decent fit, but then the concern is like, is he an Everton guy? You know, what does he know about Everton? And that's... So from a vibes sense, it doesn't feel right. Rooney...
Well, here's why I think you need Rooney, because here's your style. Who gives a fuck, right? That's the Rooney stuff. It's Rooney.
Rooney's going to be like, you know, partying with the players as well. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Look, you probably will win more because the players will be happy. But the vibes, dude, when we were there, it's such a sad existence to be an Everton fan because you almost expect your team to lose.
Right.
It reminds me of being a Knicks fan every year except the last two. in a 20-year window, that's being an Everton supporter. Dude, Rooney comes back as your manager. He's showing up a little bit hungover. You know what I mean? Like, the vibes are perfect section of Liverpool.
Hey, Gaffer had a long night, you know? Yeah.
You can see, man, who he hangs out with because they're all wearing sunglasses. You know? I think it would be dope.
I think, it's not a terrifying or worrisome kind of suggestion. I think the idea of having a player so connected with the club and started with the club and has a deep history and also knows the game. And, you know, even when, especially when Wayne Rooney went to DC United and all the stories we heard about him, about how he was, like, beloved by all the DC United players, everybody, he was incredibly humble and incredibly kind, took care of every bill and everything, like, just a good dude, and really, and had thoughts on how players should be taken care of in MLS, and they should be paid more. And the dude, he really, like, went out on a limb and looked out for people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, this might be a decent fit, but look, he's at Derby. There's
also
a lot
he'll
going
be able
on.
To do cool stuff. Like, hey, you guys want to FaceTime Ronaldo real quick? And everyone's like, yeah.
Just the Rolodex alone. Yeah. And he still carries the Rolodex. He doesn't even use the content.
he's got some things that are antiquated. He's like, you guys want to play a prank on Sir Alex Ferguson? And they're like, oh my God, yes, we do.
Wait, you crazy, bud.
It's halftime, Wayne. You know, Christian, one of my favorite things about this time of year is all the players moving around. But better than that is the rumors of them moving around, because then we get to play GM, if you will. I was going to say like pretend GM, but that doesn't make any sense.
I thought you were going to make like an example, like use an analogy about some board game you played or something, but you've never played a board game.
Yeah. No, that's not true. I played Parcheesi once or twice, and then I was like, forget this. If I can't become an oil tycoon, I don't want to play it. And they're like, dude, he's 5. Why is he like this? But what you call it? There's so many players being moving about. I know Everton's not, you know, rumored to be getting anybody, but the rest of the footballing world seems to be getting.
They're definitely moving out of there.
Yeah. Who else did Rafa Benitez shun? But it looks like the big deal, right? Erling Haaland is going to go somewhere, and Mbappe is going to go somewhere. But they kind of seem to be tied together, right?
Yeah.
Like where one goes, the other one isn't, right? But then now even more things are happening. So Erling Haaland is rumored to be heavily linked with Real Madrid.
Yes.
Karim Benzema having the best year of his career. I believe he's like 33, 34 years old. Just absolutely killing it right now. Looking like he's in his peak.
Mm-hmm.
Rumor is he said, well, all right, if Erling comes here, I'm done playing second fiddle. I'm out.
Right.
Now, where does he go? And then Pogba is supposed to be going to PSG. All the rumors are my guy's going to PSG. And supposedly the rumor is, even more rumors, that Mbappe, who has yet to re-sign and looks like he may go to his childhood home or his childhood dream home of Real Madrid, apparently if they get Pogba, he likes that idea and he may stay. But now, Karim Benzema leaving, Pogba says he's going to Real Madrid. Maybe Karim Benzema goes to PSG, and that's enough to make Mbappe stay there.
So look,
the
this
hell's
is already
going on. Oh, and Vinicius Jr. might go to Manchester United.
It's getting confusing. All right, it's becoming when somebody's trying to explain to you what happened in a soap opera. You know, you haven't seen the soap opera, but they're gonna tell you exactly what happened in the last 40 years of Days of Our Lives. You
I
know,
sound like a QAnon explaining lizard people, but trust me.
See, I mean the latest one, at least what triggered this conversation was Paul Pogba reportedly being, having asked for a move to Real Madrid. And the interesting thing here is that, obviously financially, a lot of these scenarios can't really happen. Like,
also, I don't know why he's asking. Isn't he out of contract? He's a free agent, essentially.
They are supposedly trying to renegotiate.
They have an offer out for him to be the most expensive salary range wise, most expensive player in the Premier League, and he's like, I ain't signing that.
Right. So I don't know. It's a strange thing because some people love Pogba, some people hate him, some people think he's overpaid, some people think he's underpaid. Blah, blah, blah. The dude wins World Cups when he plays with France, when Manchester United have their own issues, right? So that triggered sort of this conversation. But it starts making me think that clearly some of these players our friends. They play on the same national teams. They all know each other. There's some possibility that they might be doing like a Miami Heat, you know, taking my talents.
Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, LeBron James.
You know, like, I think that this is why they haven't like made these, like, maybe signed these deals, made these agreements, because it gives them a little bit more flexibility to say, ah, let's go play Paul and Killian, let's go play at Real Madrid and link up and stuff like that. So it seems like something is going on, because you would you remember when they introduced the Supermax deal in the NBA, right? And Charles Barkley had that clip of like, yeah, they're not gonna leave 25 million. Nutmeg is upset. They're not gonna leave this money on the table. Nutmeg, bro, all right, they're not gonna leave this money on the table, and it seems like they're leaving money on the table.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would love if all of them decided to go to Real Madrid and Real Madrid did one of those Miami Heat, you know, remember when they were all at the stadium and they came out with the smoke and they were dancing for no reason? Like, no words had been said yet. They just started dancing, looking around, staring like they were, you know, Drake at a concert when his best song comes on. I would love if that happened. Maybe they could do a remix of the World Cup France song. Yeah. But it's all the Real Madrid players' names. That would be great. The only reason I really care where they go is because I'm interested to see, like, what kind of super team can be made to sort of combat what PSG have done. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because then Champions League is going to be lit. Like, it doesn't bother me who's on Real Madrid or who isn't. I could care less, you know? Doesn't bother me who's on PSG or not. I could care less.
But really shows,
if they both tool up and have like super squads, now I'm excited for Champions League. You know?
But the interesting thing is, even with PSG and what they've done, they're still not the favorite to even win Champions League. It really shows.
But that's because, like, they have a Tottenham manager as their manager. Makes no sense. That's like getting the nicest restaurant, buying some of the greatest ingredients, putting it in the most romantic, beautiful city, and then hiring a chef from McDonald's. You know, the guy's looking for the microwaves.
I'm just saying, the chef from McDonald's has seen some stuff. Okay,
he's really, like, I brought my own pipe in case somebody tries to play some games. And they're like, no. You're not gonna have to fight anybody. We're in the fanciest hotel in Paris. He's like, somebody touches the fry station, exactly, they get whacked with this pipe.
We just need you to drop salt off your forearm. You don't need to do all this. I think there is, this summer is going to be very interesting. I know this January, it puts people, players and clubs in a weird situation. Speaking, Arsenal and Dusan Vlahovic, coming from Fiorentina, kind of,
apparently they've accepted the Arsenal offer.
Yeah, but even the drama around that, like, if you're not if you're just a casual soccer fan and you just watch the games or whatever, but the business of the game is insane. The Fiorentina manager, the owner, Rocco Commisso, he there was an article, him talking about how he almost regrets buying the team because
they hate him because they make fun of him for being Italian American.
You're right, but because of the business of him transferring players and agents, he's like, I hate these agents. They're asking for all this money. I'm not going to be taken advantage of. He's just like, he's like, I'm putting my foot down. This stops today. You know,
he's so New York. He's like, you're doing it all wrong.
You're trying to fleece me. I see what you're doing here.
I fleece you. You don't fleece me. I'll shut this whole thing down.
All right, welcome back. And remember, Jordan Morris will be joining us in just a little bit to talk about everything going on at the U.S. Men's National Team camp. Okay, let's start right now talking about Neymar Jr., okay? Not his dad.
Oh, good. I thought we were going to talk about his dad. I was like, I'm woefully prepared for this.
Dedicate a lot of time to Mr. Nascimento. Is that his last name? What's his?
I don't know.
His actual last name. That's Pele's last name. Anyway, Neymar is getting a documentary. He is coming out on Netflix, a 3-part series that starts on Tuesday.
I just looked it up. His name is Neymar Drinkwater Jr. Did you know that? That's crazy.
Whoa, that's pretty cool.
All right. Wow.
So Neymar is, what is it called? The Perfect Chaos? The Perfect Chaos. That's the name of it. And so this is an interesting thing.
It sounds like a documentary about vaping. It's the worst.
You know this is 1,000% funded by the Neymar Foundation. And
100%. Which is somehow a 501c3. Go ahead.
The trailer does seem exciting. Look up the trailer if you haven't seen it yet.
It's a commercial for a commercial.
I'm not a Neymar hater. You know, some people can't stand the guy. Whatever. It's the same thing with pretty much any athlete who is not white. If they color their hair or wear a gold chain, people are like, this game is falling apart? What are they doing?
So you're gonna express a personal style? Wow. I guess I'm gonna have to cut you down every chance I get.
you do not deserve the drink water name. Okay.
Yeah. You have besmirched the drink. In fact, you're acting like a chug whiskey, not a drink water.
But I'm excited to watch this because look, even if it's a full propaganda piece for Neymar, fine. I find he's a wildly entertaining player. Like a lot of Brazilian players, came from just absolute poverty and difficult situations.
Right. Actually, he didn't come from poverty. His family had a little bit of money.
Did he? Okay. I don't know.
His family had a little bit of money growing up. I don't know if it's a lot, but I know real poor Brazilians are like, he ain't one of us. Like, he didn't grow up in a favela.
Okay. Because I remember hearing an interview with Richarlison. And Richarlison, I mean, he's a young kid. How old is he? Like 21, 22?
Yeah.
And he was just like talking about friends dying when he was a teenager and missing people. That's a common story. So I'm just
Richarlison grew up in a trap. Richarlison's different. Neymar grew up a little bit better than that, you know?
Okay.
But I'm not that interested. Like, I feel like I know enough about Neymar. Like, I'm not that excited to see him around his house. Like, I kind of get an idea of what he's like.
Sure.
His teammate, the guy he has on it talking about him, Messi. Now, that's a documentary. Messi seems like he doesn't know how to make eggs. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't do anything. He can juggle. He thinks scrambling eggs is doing keepy-uppies with the egg itself and not breaking it, which I'm sure he can. But, like, I don't think I would love to watch Messi make, like, sun tea. You know what I mean? Just staring at it as he tries to figure out what's happening. Like, the guy is just a different human being.
He needs to start a Twitch channel where he does these just simple tasks.
Just normal,
normal human being
thing. What does Messi do when he slightly burns the toast? You know what I mean? Does he scrape it off or does he throw it out? That I would pay to watch that.
We need to know.
You know what it is? He's never given us an inkling of the type of person he is.
Right.
You know?
He's never attempted to be... human. Relatable.
Relatable is probably the word. Yeah, there's nothing about him that says, like, oh, this guy goes and checks the mail. You know what I mean?
Right. Or, and we know his life is, you know, absurd. And it's obviously, you know, he's clearly one of the most famous human beings that has ever lived.
But I can't tell if it's opulent, though.
What'd you say?
Like, I get that, but I can't tell if it's like an opulent lifestyle.
No.
He might be like super normal. He might be vacuuming along with the help because he feels bad. I don't know. I know nothing about this man. All we know is he has a horrific sense of style. Other than that, there's nothing there.
And with Neymar being his friend, you would think that would be the first thing that he, you know, adapts.
I think Neymar is enjoying how bad he is at fashion. He's like, dude, you totally should wear the shorts that are jean shorts, but with a cargo pocket.
Walking into Parc des Princes, like, Neymar's just like, yo, did you see Leo today? You see what you're wearing? Bruh,
of course I told him it looked good. I mean, look at him. He looks stupid as hell. Yeah.
You know, I had to lie to him to get him to come here. I mean,
I know. He was sitting in the car listening to NPR, and he didn't want to get out until the show was done. I had to lie to him to get him in here. I know nothing about Messi's life. That's a documentary I want to see. Neymar, What, you partying on a yacht again?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We've seen your IG live, bro. We know what this is about.
We know your life.
I mean, look, the challenges that he faces, I mean, he points them out in the trailer a little bit about, like, being this famous and being this rich. And it's,
The challenges are he got rich early and he got famous early. That, what a challenge. Oh, no.
I mean, look, it comes with its problems. We all know that.
Yeah, it must be really hard to navigate that world. Please tell me more about how the whole world wants to be either you or with you. Oh, wow.
He's just navigating through it in a private jet, bro. Yeah.
While yelling at the flight. The pilot? I was going to say the flyer. I don't belong in that world. That's all I know. It's just me and Messi scraping toast. When we get back, we've got Jordan Morris. Stick around. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram. Okay?
You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going
to... Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream... every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? All right, Christian, our guest is finally here. And what an honor.
Absolutely honored. Long overdue. We've been hoping to have this guy on the show for years now.
Since the first season of our podcast. And now we're on TV and we're finally getting him on all the way from Phoenix, from the January men's national team camp, the pride of Mercer Island. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one, the only. He's so smooth. Jordan Morris, everybody.
How's it going?
Jordan, what's up, man?
What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
How are you?
Absolutely.
Dude, wait, hold on. I got to ask you the first question because I'm a big dude and you obviously are not. You exercise a lot. You're in great shape. I'm going to just say it. How fucked up is it that you have diabetes and I don't?
Fair question. I was not expecting that question right off the bat.
Yeah. But you have the foundation for type 1 diabetes. It's something you've had your whole life. Obviously, you don't have to ask the exact question I asked. But talk a little bit about what it's been like trying to be a professional athlete at the highest level. Suffering from something like type 1 diabetes, which is very difficult, and a lot of people are dealing with it.
Yeah, definitely. It provides its challenges. Obviously, in the life of a diabetic, you have to make sure your blood sugar is in the right spot, because if it's a little too high or too low, especially going into a game or training, you're not going to feel like yourself, you know? So going through the kind of trials and errors as I was growing up. But as time goes, you know, has gone on, it's gotten a little bit easier and I've come to understand it a little bit better. And yeah, like you said, I have the foundation where I'm trying to give back and inspire kids that were, diagnosed like I was at a young age.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you inspire people in multiple ways. I mean, you obviously the last couple years have been, I can only probably describe it as very emotionally traumatic, dealing with injuries, coming back and the challenge that comes with, and then to deal with it all over again. I mean, we've spoken to the first player that comes to mind that we know pretty well is Florian Velot, who played for Red Bull in Cincinnati, dealt with essentially the same exact thing. But what is where's Jordan Morris emotionally right now after coming back from those challenging injuries?
Yeah, I mean, last year was a really, really challenging year. I mean, both of them provided their challenges, but having just, you know, gone to a new team and excited for that new challenge, and then to go down injured like that and know that I had to repeat the process was pretty devastating. And going through it the second time, I would say mentally is the most challenging part. You know, sitting there watching, whether it's the Sounders or national team games, just wishing you could be out there playing. But You're just grinding in the gym, doing your rehab. So it was an emotional year, a taxing year, but I'm just super grateful to be back on the field.
And obviously a huge result is getting back on the men's national team, being in this camp. That's got to mean a lot to you. When you wake up in the morning, do you look down at your legs and be like, come on, boys, you know, stick with me here. Yeah. We've been through a lot.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, but they're feeling really good, which is great. And you know, you just have to, I think coming back from an injury, the most difficult part is sometimes trusting that that everything's going to be good, but you just have to understand that you know, you really are stronger than you were before. And so when you go out there every day, it's all going to be good, all going to work out. And again, it's just amazing to be back playing after it was taken away for such a long time. But yeah, there's still some aches and pains where, you know, you're working through those a bit.
Right, right. And, you know, I think even as fans, and when we watch the games and watch you either play for the national team, play for the Sounders, when you got back and were playing for the Sounders, emotionally, I think everybody, even if they're a fan of the Sounders or not, they're like, I just want Jordan to be okay. And then we see you playing. And then I'm like, this dude is still faster than everybody else, even with after going through these terrible injuries. It seems like you haven't really lost a step.
Yeah,
this
I don't know.
Got what horse calves or something?
Put something in there when they were doing the surgery. I don't know what's going on. But no, I think coming back from this one, especially that was the main goal or the main concern when it first happened was would I, you know, have that same speed? Because that's obviously such a huge part of my game and what I feel like I can bring to the table. So that was a huge point of emphasis going through this rehab. And I was fortunate to come back and have that same speed.
Now, look, we would be remiss if we didn't ask the beginning of your career. It was pretty wild. You're in college. All of a sudden, a German guy calls you and tells you you're part of the men's national team. You know what I mean? A lot's happening. But I think probably the most significant thing that from when we started our show was, look, when I got out of college, I went into the corporate world and I had two companies that offered me a job. One that was a little bit smaller, but I knew I could shine. And one was a little bigger where I thought I might get lost in the mix. So I went with the smaller company. You know what didn't happen? Thousands and thousands of people didn't have opinions on podcasts and TV shows. Former employees of mine didn't get on social media and talk about it. That happened to you. Going through that at that time, did that make you try harder in the position you were in? Did that put you, I mean, obviously you can handle it different now. You're a little bit older, but at that time that had to have been really difficult. And by the way, we're to blame for part of that. We were part of that media. So
I remember.
That
I must remember.
Have been difficult.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, it's all good. It's all good. No, of course it was difficult. I think for me, what was challenging was I wasn't really in the spotlight at all growing up in terms of the national team or that whole picture. And then all of a sudden that switched so quickly. When they came to Stanford, you know, I played, we were able to scrimmage against them. Things went well. And all of a sudden I went from no one knowing my name to being part of the full national team squad. Obviously it was a dream come true and an amazing experience, but to have it flip so quickly like that, I think led to some challenges in terms of being in the public and in the spotlight a little more. And then obviously when I made the decision to go to Seattle, it was controversial. A lot of people had their opinions, whatever those were. And I think that in the end, what I've learned in my career is just to trust myself and trust my heart and trust what I think is going to be best for my career. And looking back, I have zero regrets. I don't think that, you know, I think that I developed really, really well in the situation that I'm in. Going in the first year, winning an MLS Cup for my hometown team was something that I dreamed of, growing up as a little kid. So it's been an amazing experience. Obviously, you know, the injuries have been a difficult part of my career, but other than that, I've been really, really happy that the success that we've had in Seattle, the way that I've seen myself grow as a player on and off the field has been everything, you know, that I've wanted. So just got to keep pushing. There's a lot of goals I still want to accomplish, but yeah, of course it provided its challenges when all these people were all of a sudden talking about me and saying, you know, whether I made the right decision, wrong decision. It was hard not to pay attention to that.
Okay, yeah, and I just want to make sure, you know, the Cooligans are not a united front when it came to those opinions, all right? Alexis,
Christian was so rude, dude. I can't believe, you know?
You know, I think the I don't want to necessarily say vitriol, but the for the energy that comes from those opinions is because people, and that, you know, I think it's a little strange at times, but people, they look at your life and the decisions you make for your personal life and your own career, and they're like, well, how is this going to affect me yeah, and watching yeah. the national team yeah. and the U.S. ever winning a World Cup? So I'm going to be mad.
How's this dude I don't know in Seattle's choices going to affect me sure. and my happiness?
Sure.
Why doesn't he care about me?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Although, be honest, if it was Arsene Wenger who called, I heard you're a gooner like me. Tell me you would have jumped.
For sure. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's maybe a different situation. But no, I mean, it was great. I was fortunate to have that option at Bremen, and obviously went over there to train, and it was a good experience. But I felt like for myself, I was going to develop better, and you know, knew I had a chance to go into Seattle and be playing every single game at a young age, and just knew that was going to be the best for me. So yeah, completely happy with my decision.
And you know what? Last year, I got a dog, and it was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. It was great.
All right. Yeah, if you want to talk about that, too, I mean, that's something that I can talk about. But yeah,
I'll stay away from the dog, but I might try to get an electric vehicle like you have. That will make me want to stay home. Let's talk about going to Europe, because you did get a chance to do it. Look, last place anybody would, when they think about Europe, they think like Ibiza, the Mediterranean. You ended up in Swansea, you know what I mean? Not exactly the seaside that people imagine, but it was a big opportunity for you. What that level was, is there, as American fans, we always have this little bit of a chip on our shoulder, seems to be going away, but there's that chip on our shoulder that like, oh, Europe is a different level. What did you see when you got there? Were you like, yo, I got this? Or were you like, oh no?
No, for sure. I was very confident, and you know, I wasn't there for too long, unfortunately. I think I only played in 4 or 5 games, so I was just getting used to the level and the competition. And I think the main thing that I noticed, that the difference, was that every single day in training, people were fighting and scrapping and working, because if not, there was someone right behind you that was going to come in and take your spot, you know. And I think that potentially that's the big difference between you know, maybe the MLS and Europe. But in terms of the quality, I mean, there's guys in Seattle, you're playing with some really, really good players, and the quality in training is high, and in games is high. So, you know, it wasn't a crazy difference for me, to be honest. I know I wasn't there for a really long time, and it was a great challenge, one that I was really looking forward to. Trying to get to the Prem with Swansea would have been an amazing experience. But yeah, it was something that I was ready for, and I felt really confident.
I'm curious if, I guess, simply put, like, would you go back? Would you, if you had the opportunity again? And then also, if, let's say you never had the injury, and Swansea's back in the Prem, are you still in Europe? I mean, I know you're Sounders, you know, through and through, but hypothetically, would things have worked out a little bit differently if you didn't get injured?
Yeah, I'll answer the first part. I would definitely love to go back. I think, you know, it'll take some time coming back from an injury, probably, for teams to potentially be interested in me again. I'm completely, you know, excited and happy in Seattle. I want to go there this year and win everything, win the Champions League, win MLS Cup. I think we have a really exciting group and a quality team. But yeah, if an opportunity came again, it's definitely something that I would want to do. And yeah, the goal when I went over there was to stay, you know, it was to try and get promoted with Swansea and stay. I was loving it. I was loving the team, loving the city. You know, my wife came with me. We were really enjoying the new experience and just the challenge. And so the goal when I went over was to stay, for sure. And obviously the injury threw a wrench in those plans. Sometimes things don't work out how we want them to, and it's about adapting to those and coming back from that. But yeah, the goal was for sure to stay over there.
When you look at, you know, your the position that the Seattle Sounders are in, obviously you didn't get a chance to win MLS Cup this year. It seemed like you guys are a shoo-in, though. You know, if you're going to put money on it at the beginning of the year, you put money that Seattle Sounders are going to be there. But we're NYCFC fans, and we got to be in Portland to watch Portland lose. Does that make you just as happy as a Seattle fan?
I was a huge New York City fan that day, for sure. Because we have two over there, you know, one right now. I didn't want them to be tied with us. So, you know, we wouldn't have heard the end of it next year if Portland had won. So I was, okay, I was pumped for Sean John, you know, making those saves.
Yeah, there is that. That's one thing, you know, we've gotten to be we've been to every MLS Cup the last couple of years. We weren't at the one in Columbus, but we got to see you guys win. We got to see you guys lose. Sounders fans, as far as one of the most absolutely passionate fan bases, it is just incredible. But the one thing I really love, and obviously Albert Rusnak is now your teammate in the Sounders. The squad is just incredible. Even if Albert did not go to the team, you would still be favorites to do well and make it to MLS Cup. But one thing I do love about, we've had Stephen Fry on the show, we've had Christian Roldan on the show. There seems to be so many like awesome characters on the Seattle Sounders. Just huge personalities, whether it's Roldan eating pizza, the Jingle Bell song. This seems to be just a camaraderie. Like when new players go into that, how is it? Do they just easily adapt because it's such like a clearly fun environment from the outside?
For sure. I think that's what we pride ourselves on, is we have a great locker room. This last year, especially, obviously, we didn't accomplish our goals, but we had a great team, great environment. We're always super welcoming. I think it's really easy for players to come in and fit in and be able to play their best. I think when players go to a new team, part of the challenge is trying to fit in, and maybe that can affect you when you get on the field. You're not playing, you know, quite as well or up to your potential because you don't feel quite like you're at home or part of the team yet. But I think we make it super easy. We just have a bunch of great guys, a lot of big personalities, like you said, but really nice, inviting, welcoming people. And the fan base too is incredible. So, I think it's easy to come in, and I think Rusnak's going to come in and do really, really well.
Right.
Your coach hates me. I don't know if you know this. I asked Coach Schmetzer a funny question, and his eyes rolled so far back they went 360. They came back from the bottom. But watching him, watching how the players sort of react to him, he's the most unassuming dynasty coach of all time. One of the most winningest coaches, but he's so unassuming. Does that character of the team, where they're fun and everyone's enjoying themselves, does that come from him, or does he? Does he hate that as much as he hated my funny question?
No, he's a, I think what we all like about Schmetz is he's a player's coach. You know, he enjoys that. He enjoys the players having fun. He enjoys them expressing themselves and on and off the field. So I think he's obviously been incredibly successful since he's taken over. And I think a lot of that comes from just his personality, his coaching style. We have some amazing assistant coaches as well that are doing a great job. But yeah, no, he doesn't. He enjoys that. He enjoys that banter as well. So it's no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta earn it, Alexis.
Maybe not, yours, yeah.
I guess I gotta do a couple laps first.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about U.S. Men's National Team camp and your time there. I saw you had spoken to Grant Wall, and you were talking to him a little bit about kind of how you're feeling and what's going on. So we generally know. I think I feel like everyone's kind of in good spirits, but the vibes right now of camp and these upcoming World Cup qualifiers, and obviously it nothing is a lock, but you know it's been looking pretty good. How what's the conversation been like, or you know, the future for Jordan Morris in 2022, possibly going to the World Cup, playing these World Cup qualifiers? What's the expectations for you and from the coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, I think going back to last year, the most difficult part of going through an injury like that is watching games, you know, wishing you could be out there. So potentially being able to be a part of those qualifiers and the tournaments that were played last year, sitting and watching that was really difficult. So just to be back and training every day with the guys and the group is amazing. And of course, the goal is to try to, you know, qualify and then to go to a World Cup. And so I'm trying to do everything that I can for myself personally and for the team to put myself in a position, of course, to be a part of these qualifiers at the end of the month. And I think that this group has done an incredible job since coming in. It's totally different than a normal January camp where you can kind of ease into things a bit. You know, you have a friendly at the end of the month where, of course, you want to win, but it's not the end all be all or whatever. So, but these are three qualifying games that mean everything. So guys are grinding, we're working really, really hard. It's been physically demanding, but people have put in the work because we know what it means at the end of the month.
Okay.
All right. Now, we actually have our own supporters group. They're called the Gully Squad. They're our biggest fans. And we let them ask a couple questions. We got a couple good ones. This one's from Nick Lageman, who's a big Rebel fan. He said, what was the strangest Welsh food people tried to get you to eat while you were at Swansea?
Oh, man.
And there's a lot. There's a lot to choose when it comes to strange Welsh food, man.
Man, there is. I wasn't there for long enough to do it. It was in the middle of COVID. We weren't like going out to meals or anything. So I didn't do anything. I didn't eat anything crazy, to be honest.
We're going to have to get you like a goat bladder filled with like liver or something.
Something like that. Honestly, I didn't have the food was really, really good. I didn't have anything that was crazy.
Okay.
So I can't think of anything. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. This is, this question is pretty wild. This is from Brian Michael. He asked the question. He says, is Jermaine Jones on your holiday card list? You don't have to answer it.
You don't have to answer it.
But it was there. It was the question.
We asked.
Yeah. No, I mean, probably not at the top. With Jermaine, I played with him, obviously, with the national team and it was an incredible player and had a ton of respect for him. And you know, I think there was an emotional time where he said what he said and you know, I didn't appreciate it or didn't agree with it. Obviously, I didn't stay in Seattle because of a dog, if anyone still thinks that. I think that's pretty questionable. But I obviously played with Jermaine. I have a lot of respect for him and I understand. People say things when they're emotional. It was an emotional time. And so, you know, I don't hold a grudge or anything.
Yeah. I mean, look, it was pretty wild. But I think the, at least for us as comedians, the fun part of it is like the fact that U.S. soccer could get to the point where it's like TMZ levels of madness over a kid deciding to play.
We had a little spice. Yeah.
I'm like, we're moving in the right direction. Yeah. That people care this much to be so upset.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if there's passionate fans, it's great. And obviously the fan base is amazing. So, it was tough at the time, to be honest, but I've gotten over it. And,
usually MLS Cups usually heal
They field some of parades for sure. Yeah.
Winning it at home, that tends to wipe away some of the bad.
That was amazing. Yeah.
It worked out. Jordan Morris, thank you so much for joining us, man. This has been an absolute honor. I know you're very busy at national team camp. And honestly, we wish you all the best. Just a great season. And hopefully we see you at these World Cup qualifiers, man. Seriously, thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. No worries. This was great.
Is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go?
No, I mean, if you want to check out more about the foundation, website's jordanmorrisfoundation.com, doing some cool things. So if you want to check out more on that, that would be awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. Please feel free and check it out and support Jordan Morris. Thank you so much for joining us. Everybody else, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Follow at Fubo Sports and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for more clips and episodes of the show. All right, Jordan, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So please join us in this as well. So for Jordan Morris, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans.
The Cooligans!